Thank you so much, Elaine. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that not you, not me, not anybody can boast, except to boast in the Lord. Let him who boasts, the Bible says, boast in the Lord. Thank you, Elaine. And numbers of people worked on the mission wall out there, but Elaine Turley, who just sang the song for us, has a real heart for missions, and she masterminded the project. And I hope you'll look at the pictures of the people we partner with, pick up the papers out of the racks that are on the wall, and familiarize yourself with the people that we're praying for and supporting financially each month. I want to say thanks to the ladies who have planned and prepared the shower for Whitney at 2:30 today next door. It looks beautiful over there. Some of you may not know Whitney. Whitney, you've got to stand up and turn around and show them who you are. This young lady will be a bride in 27 days right here. Congratulations, Whitney. I really like Whitney, and I even kind of like the guy she's marrying, so I think it's going to be all right. His name is Aaron, and he's terrific. Last week on Father's Day, we concentrated on God being our Father, and we looked at passages through the Bible that talk about us being the children of God. And we answered the question from the Bible, how do we become children of God? And we looked at a number of verses like John 1:12, but to as many as receive Christ, to them God gives the power or the right to become the children of God. And places like Galatians 3:26, we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we looked at the example of Abraham recorded for us in Romans. And anyway, we looked at verse after verse after verse that tells us clearly it's all by grace through faith. We become children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, the folks were saved by faith. Genesis 15:6, Abraham, and all the others. Well, this morning we want to follow up on that idea, and we want to ask and answer the question from the Bible, how do we behave as children of God? And you know, there's a lot in the Bible about that, and you say, Pastor, how do you narrow that down? Well, each verse that we look at, each passage that we look at today, just like last week, has the term children of God or child of God in it. So we're specifically last week looking at how you become a child of God, how you become children of God. Every passage we looked at had that phrase in it, child of God, children of God. Same thing today, and I want you to join me in 1 John chapter 3 to begin with. Every passage we look at will have the phrase children of God or child of God, and these passages today are not on how to become one. We did that last week. These are on how to behave as. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. But Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say, once we are saved by grace through faith, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that bring glory to God. And the passages we're looking at today are the way God wants us to be, the works he wants us to do as his children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. You and I are not going to fully appreciate 1 John 3:1, until we're in the presence of the Lord in heaven someday. And by his grace, we took Jesus as the door, the gate, the way, the truth, the life, and he put us on the narrow way, and he brought us to life. And we are not going to fully appreciate what it means to be a child of God until we're in his presence in heaven someday. And then for all eternity, we're going to see what an awesome God and Savior we have, that he could take us as rebellious, selfish sinners and convert us and conform us to the image of his Son. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. John the Apostle was an elderly man as he wrote these epistles. He had been through a lot as a young man with Jesus during Jesus' earthly ministry. He's been through a whole lot throughout his adult life in serving Jesus. He's been exiled for service to Jesus, his life threatened again and again. But John, as an old man, still can't get over the love of Christ. In the Gospel of John, he writes about it. In the Epistles of John, he writes about it. In the book of Revelation, he writes about the future for the children of God. And the last two chapters of the Bible are just so incredible. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are right now through faith in Christ Jesus. The world doesn't see a whole lot of difference because they don't know him. Verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God, there it is again, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and we're promised a resurrection and a resurrection body like unto the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus. That's our future. These verses are why I'm saying we can't fully appreciate what it means to be a child of God until we get to this point. Verse 3, though, we have this hope. We are children of God already through faith in Christ. We've got a tremendous future. We're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be like Jesus in a perfect place called heaven. We can't even imagine that. Mike was talking at scripture reading time about the stuff on the news. We can't even imagine a place where there's not a problem. There's not a bad attitude. There's not any selfishness. There's not any pride or greed. We can't imagine a place that is continual joy, pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. True pleasure, real pleasure. Not the empty, vain pleasures that the world offers. So, verse 3. Talking about children of God in verse John 3, 1 to 3. Everyone who has this hope, the hope of Christ, the hope of the Savior, the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, the hope of seeing Jesus and being like him someday, everybody, every child of God that has this hope in him purifies himself just as Jesus is pure. Last week, over and over again, we saw verses. How do you become a child of God? You don't become a child of God by trying to live right because you can't live that right. There's too much wrong. Mike referred to that too. A lot of people just hope they're right. Their good is going to outweigh their bad. That's all of sin and falls short of the glory of God. None is righteous. No, not one. Not in God's sight. Not in heaven's sight. But once we become children of God by confessing our sin and calling on Jesus to save us, how does a child of God behave? 1 John 3:3 says we are to be pure, we are to be clean, we are to live lives like Jesus lived his life, just as he is pure. Positionally, we know that's true. We have his righteousness. We're clothed in it. He took our sin. But as we live out our life, he wants us to live a pure life. He lived a pure life. He is purity. Look down, please, at verses 10 and 11, same chapter. Again, the phrase children of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right, righteous, is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. We're talking about a high and a holy standard here. We're talking about what the Lord wants to make us and transform us into and conform us into as he conforms us into his image. We are sinners saved by grace by faith. But once we are saved, God calls us to a higher life, a higher standard. This is how you can tell if somebody is a child of God. He does what is right, and he loves, because he lives like his Heavenly Father. He lives like his Lord and Savior. John tells us earlier in this epistle that if we say we have no sin, we lie and we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is the standard. This doesn't mean as a Christian that I will never do something wrong. It doesn't mean I will never fail to, that I will ever be perfect in the way I love God and love others. This is the standard. Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. It's a classic. And in it, he made the point that God's standard for the Christian life, for a walk with the Lord, is high and holy as he is high and holy. The normal Christian life is a life of purity, verse 3. It's a life of righteousness, verse 10. It's a life of love. That's the standard. Watchman Nee, when he wrote his little book on the normal Christian life, he was quick to point out, and he pointed it out repeatedly, that the normal Christian life, the normal standard that God has set, is not the average Christian life. There's a big difference. Too often, the average Christian life is a life of defeat and despair and discouragement and of giving in to temptation and sin. That's way too average. But the normal Christian life that God calls us to and is designed for us as we confess our sins, as we call upon him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, as we walk with Jesus in obedience, this is the normal Christian life. It's a high and holy and a wonderful life. Now that we are children of God through faith in Christ, God wants us to behave as Jesus, pure, love, right. According to U.S. News and World Report, medical studies have suggested that all cholesterol is not the same. I bet you've heard this. There is good cholesterol and there is bad cholesterol. Good cholesterol consists of high-density lipoproteins, or HDLs. Bad cholesterol consists of low-density lipoproteins, or LDLs. Bad cholesterol clogs arteries and leads to heart attacks. Good cholesterol seems to carry cholesterol out of the coronary artery walls, thus preventing blockages. Studies show the rate of coronary heart disease falls as HDL, or good cholesterol, levels rise. Just as all cholesterol is not the same, the Bible says that all pleasure is not the same. There is good pleasure, righteous pleasure, pure pleasure, God blessed, God intended pleasure. There is good pleasure. And we live in a world where there is plenty of bad pleasure. Good pleasure is healthy. It's self-controlled. It's obedient to God. It's right. Bad pleasure is selfish, self-indulgent, addictive, and rebellious to God's commands, and also hurtful to the person involved in it. God is not a tyrant, as Mike referred to this, didn't know he was going to do that. God is not a tyrant calling us to a pure life, a righteous life, a life of love, so that we can miss out on so much fun down here. The Lord is saving us from our sin and trying to save us from the consequences of our sin, and he is glorified by our faith in him, and he is glorified when we follow him and when his purity and his love and his righteousness is reproduced in us by the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. You can't save yourself and you can't live like this. We've got more to look at. I guarantee, in my own strength, I can't live like this. I need Jesus to save me, and I need the power of the risen Christ by his Holy Spirit within me to transform me so that I can behave as children of God should behave normally, not average, normally. Turn with me to 1 Peter. The books of Peter are right before the books of John. You don't have to turn very far. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Again, the text has the phrase, children of God. 1 Peter 1, 13, 14, 15. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, believers. Be self-controlled. In the list of the fruit of the Spirit, nine things in Galatians, self-control is the ninth. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Do you notice how Peter is led by the Holy Spirit to write the same meaning? The words are a little different. The same meaning as John in 1 John 3, 1 to 3. The hope we have because of grace. And look, he calls us children. Verse 14, as obedient children. We have options, don't we? We can be obedient to God and his word. We can be disobedient. As obedient children of God, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance before you were saved. But just as he, the Lord who called you, is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written in Leviticus chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 19, and also Leviticus chapter 20, be holy because I am holy. So you have the Old Testament, the New Testament, agreeing with themselves because they're all God's book. Look at the standard we're called to. Be pure because Jesus is pure. Be holy because your Heavenly Father is holy. As a child of God, walk in obedience. You're positionally holy, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Behave holy because of who you belong to and because of who you are in Christ. To be holy means to be set apart. It's a good thing when we're different from the world around us. We're set apart in the Lord. To be holy is to be set apart, righteous and pure. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, where it also talks about being children of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 and 2 talks about us being dearly loved children. I find that very encouraging. At the end of verse 1, we are the beloved, we are dearly loved children of God when we belong to God through faith in Christ. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. God loves you so much more than you can understand, and he wants you to imitate him. It's interesting. The Greek word translated imitate in the NIV is mimetes. It almost sounds like it, doesn't it? It's fascinating when you study languages, how they tie together. Mimetes, imitate. A child of God is saved by faith because of God's grace. But now that I'm saved and I am a dearly loved child of God, God says, imitate me. Don't imitate the world. Don't imitate the devil. Don't imitate the people around you. Imitate me. On Thursday nights, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew, and Jesus is so wise, and Jesus is so kind, and he's so firm, and he's so truthful, and he's so tough in a righteous way, and he's so tender. in a righteous way. Imitate Jesus. Be imitators of God, the Lord, as His children. And look at it again. Live a life of love. Live a life of love just like Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is agape love. That's what we're talking about. It's a love that serves. It's a love that sacrifices. It's self-sacrificing. It's not just a feeling. Live a life of love that serves and sacrifices for others. That's what Jesus did. Love as He loved us. I can't do that in my own strength. I need the Holy Spirit to fill me because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Earlier we said the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. That's the ninth one. The first one is love. If I'm going to love like God loves, I need to be full of the Holy Spirit because I will not do it on my own. I need to imitate God, and I need to love like God loves, serving and sacrificing and unselfishly. This is because we're children of God. See that at the end of verse 1? We're children of God. So imitate your Heavenly Father. Imitate the Lord that loved you and died for you. And what did Jesus say were the two commandments that if you do them, it takes care of everything else? Love God, love others. You do those two things, Jesus said, it'll take care of everything else. Live like the Lord. Imitate Him. On a wall near the main entrance to the Alamo in San Antonio, I imagine quite a few of you have visited the Alamo. I've seen pictures. I haven't been there. On a wall near the main entrance to the Alamo in San Antonio, Texas, is a portrait with the following inscription. James Butler Bonham. No picture of this hero exists. This portrait is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, who is also deceased. Major James Bonham greatly resembled his uncle. His portrait is placed here by the family that people may know something of the appearance of James Butler Bonham, who died for freedom. No literal portrait exists of Jesus. And you and I have seen all kinds of artists' ideas of what Jesus looked like. We've seen different films on the life of Jesus with different actors playing the part of Jesus. You can go to the Great Passion Play in Eureka Springs and see our camp director at Woodland Acres Bible Camp. He plays the part of Jesus in the Great Passion Play. No portrait of Jesus exists today. His will is that His children reflect Him in such a way that His appearance and His presence in us is seen in and through us. We are the body of Christ on earth. So imitate Him. Quit trying to imitate the lost around you. God wants His beloved children to imitate Him and live a life of love. Verse 8, Ephesians 5. For you used to be darkness. You were once darkness. You believers that have been born again by faith, you've become children of God by faith. You were once sinners in the dark, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. is how John says it. Paul says, you are light, live as children of light. The Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, the Holy Spirit speaking through John, should we be surprised if they're in perfect agreement? Of course not. So how are the children of God, the children of light, to behave? Verse 9, the fruit of righteousness, remember we've been called to a righteous life, the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What does it mean to be a child of God? It means to be a child of the light, children of light. Jesus is the light of the world. And then he said to us, his followers, let your light so shine that people can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They can see that I am in you. I'm the light of the world. Let me shine through you. Walk in the light. What does that mean, Pastor? Verse 9, what does it mean to walk in the light of the Lord? It means a good life, a righteous life, a truthful, honest life of integrity. And God help me, when I fail this high and holy standard. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Fill me with your spirit of righteousness and goodness and truth. Sodium is an extremely active element found naturally only in combined form. Little chemistry lesson here. Sodium always links itself to another element. Chlorine, on the other hand, is the poisonous gas that gives bleach its offensive odor. When sodium and chlorine are combined, the result is sodium chloride. Sodium chloride is what I will be shaking out of a shaker on my dinner in a little bit. Sodium chloride combined is common table salt, the substance that we use to preserve meat and bring out its flavor. Salt through the history of man has been so incredibly valuable. Love and truth, that's what we're called to. Did you notice that in Ephesians, our passage? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, Ephesians 5, 8 to 10. We're called to love and truth as God's children. Love and truth can be just like sodium and chlorine. Love without truth is flighty, sometimes blind, willing to combine with various beliefs and behaviors. On the other hand, truth by itself can be offensive, sometimes even poisonous. Spoken without love, it can turn people away from the good news of Jesus Christ. When truth and love are combined in an individual, please notice Ephesians 5, how are we to behave as children of God with love and truth, truth and love and truth, truth and love. When truth and love are combined in an individual or in a church, then we have what Jesus called the salt of the earth. And we're able to preserve and bring out the beauty of our faith. Sodium alone, chlorine alone won't get it done. Put them together. Put truth and love together in your life. Put love and truth and love. Speak the truth in love, the Apostle Paul said. then you can be the salt of the earth. Philippians is right after Ephesians. Another place where we read the children of God. Chapter 2, verse 14. We're looking at some select passages today that deal with the behavior of the children of God once they have already believed in the Lord and become the children of God. Philippians 2:14. I want you to notice the phrase children of God. Do everything. That's a tall order. Do everything. Everything. Without complaining or arguing. Lord, I confess to you, I complained this week. Yep. Do everything without complaining. Be content in Christ. Find your contentment in Him. Children of God are called to be not complainers, but to contentment. Contentment with godliness is great gain, 1 Timothy 6. Do everything without complaining, contentment, or arguing, peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, the children of God. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God. That's our topic. So children of God are to be blameless and pure. We've seen that already. And they're to be content and peaceful, at peace with God, at peace with others, as much as it depends upon us. Without fault. In a faulty world. You see that? Without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. We are to do everything above board, even though people around us are crooked and depraved and guilty. Elaine sang about grace alone. And she talked about wonderful grace of Jesus and amazing grace and grace that's greater than all of our sin. And there's a fairly recent gospel song out that says, grace wins, grace wins. It says, grace and guilt fight for the same place, but grace wins every time. Grace wins every time. I've got so much guilt in my life, but grace wins every time. Grace, the grace of God and the guilt of man fight for the same place, but when you take Jesus as your Savior, grace wins every time over your guilt. And so because in Christ we are dearly loved children, we are children of God, our sin is covered and cleansed positionally in Christ. We then are to perform or behave like our position. So quit living like the depraved people around you who are so crooked and live like children of God without fault. And when you do that, you will shine like the stars in the universe. Verse 15. You've been in places and so have I, where there's not much light at night and the sky is clear out in the country and the stars are incredible. God wants us to be His children who are content and peaceful, blameless in everything that we do. The standard's high. We need the Lord's help for this. We can't do it on our own. He wants us to live like this, and when we follow Jesus closely and are filled with His Spirit, we will shine His light like stars in the universe. In verse 16, we will hold out and hold on to and hold out and hold on to. We will hold on to His word and we will hold it out, the word of life. We will shine our testimony through our deeds and through our words. We are asking and answering the question this morning from several key passages in the New Testament, passages that all contain the phrase, children of God or child of God. How do we behave? This is exciting. God can help us to do this. Jesus, the light of the world, can help us to shine like His stars. He's the sun, S-O-N, we shine like stars in His universe as His light shines through us, and we have testimony for Him. Dr. Paul Brand was speaking to a medical college in India on "Let Your Light So Shine Before Men That They May Behold Your Good Works and Glorify Your Father." Christian Medical College in India, Dr. Paul Brand speaking. In front of the lectern was an oil lamp with its cotton wick burning from the shallow dish of oil. You can picture that. As Dr. Brand preached, the lamp ran out of oil and the wick burned dry and the smoke made him cough. He immediately used the opportunity. Dr. Brand said to the Christian medical students at this Christian school in India, "Some of us here are like this wick," he said. "We're trying to shine for the glory of God, but we stink." That's what happens when we use ourselves as the fuel of our witness rather than the Holy Spirit as the oil and the fuel of our witness. Wicks can last indefinitely, burning brightly and without irritating smoke if the fuel is in constant supply. Saved sinners can burn brightly as children of God if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ and His light and His love and His purity and His holiness and His blamelessness shines through. As I close, I'm going to read for you again. We were in 1 John 3, 1 Peter 1, Ephesians 5, and Philippians 2. In just these passages on behaving like children of God, there were 16 individual characteristics of Spirit-filled children of God. Christians, full of Christ by His Holy Spirit, are to live pure, to live righteous, to live love, to live obedience, to live holy, to live imitating the Lord. WWJD has a biblical basis. Imitate the Lord. Live in the light. Live good, live truth, live pleasing to the Lord, live content, live peacefully, live blamelessly, live as shining examples, live as a witness. And all these things are what the Bible says God wants His children who are dearly loved to behave. This is our behavior. I can't do it on my own, folks. But I can confess my sin whenever I sin, 1 John 1:9. And He is faithful and just to cleanse me of my sin and all my unrighteousness. And when I ask Him to, Jesus said regarding prayer, "How much more will your heavenly Father give the fullness of the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Lord, fill me
with your Spirit.
Free me from my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, help me to live these 16 things in four passages that are how the children of God are to behave. This Bible is such a wonderful book. It's such a rich and a deep book. God is so good to us. We are dearly loved children, and He wants to rescue us from living like hell while we're here. And it's too average among us that we live like hell while we're here. Instead, live holy. Imitate Jesus. Imitate God. Don't settle for less. Live high. Live holy.